Well, good evening. Tonight I'm going to speak about overcoming spiritual discouragement. And I can assure you that at times when discouragement comes upon us, it will hurt us spiritually. And I thought I would begin with some of the things that frustrate me and discourage me. A little bit of background. I'm 71 years old. I've lived a pretty full life. Been a Christian 40 years. I've studied scripture. I've taught a lot of Bible classes. And of course, I serve as your elder, as one of the elders. And as one of the elders, I'm supposed to be one of your spiritual leaders. And as your spiritual leader, I am to bear these very important responsibilities concerning not only my own soul, but your soul. So, what am I discouraged about? I'm still looking for my perfect day. I still suffer temptations. I still suffer sin. And it distresses me a lot. I think that this should not be so for a mature Christian, and certainly not for an elder. And it bothers me. And I try, but it bothers me. Secondly, there is this ultimate paradox, if you will. When a non-believer sins, they sin out of ignorance. But when I sin out of spite of knowledge. So it seems to me that me, the one who knows better, bears the greater guilt than the one who doesn't. Now, this is true of any Christian, but it's certainly true of an elder. And this distresses me. It bothers me. It discourages me. And finally, I know I have plenty of room to improve. There's no one in here who has achieved the perfection of God, and certainly I have not. So I strive to progress on my spiritual journey, which is growing shorter and shorter and shorter as mortality is growing closer and closer and closer. And yet, I find that the man that stands before you today is the same man that stood before you last Sunday. And that frustrates me, and that discourages me. And so I'm guessing that perhaps each of you, in different ways, suffer discouragement and frustrations like I do. But as I look at myself, I sometimes look back on the plaintive cry of the Apostle Paul saying, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body, the body of this death?" So if you feel like I do on occasion, let's work our way through this, okay? For those of us that allow sin to enter into our lives, for those of us who have allowed sin to enter in our lives in our past, my question is, what hope do we have? My answer to you is much, extraordinarily much. Despite our weaknesses and despite our failures, God has given us the absolute right to have complete and absolute confidence in our salvation. So you might ask, how is that possible when we bear the weight of our sins that bear upon our mind and discourage us? Well, to begin with, initially, the Apostle Paul answers his own question. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? If there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, we need to know what it means to be in Christ Jesus. Know this for certain. It's not a figurative term. It's not a metaphorical term. It's a literal term describing the spiritual state of those who have been baptized into Christ. Those who've been baptized into Christ have had their sins washed away forever, past, present, and future. And having our sins washed away, we are now united to Christ. And having been united to Christ, we are the sons of God. And being the sons of God, we have received the free gift of eternal life. And having received the free gift of eternal life, we are now saved by God's grace and not by our own works. And being saved by God's grace means that when we sin or when our sins increase, God's grace abounds evermore to constantly cleanse us of our sins. So, are you feeling better? Can we now all rest easy knowing that those of us who have entered into Christ can now sin with impunity? No, of course not. In Romans 6, verses 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul makes it pretty clear. What shall we say then? We are to continue in sin so that grace may increase. May it never be. Galatians 2:17 is even more specific. But if while seeking to be justified, meaning to be purified in Christ, there's that in Christ term, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? A rhetorical question that he answers anyway. May it never be. That term minister literally means servant. To minister means to serve. And so what Paul is telling us is crystal clear. God is not a servant of sin. God does not serve sin, and therefore God is not going to continually cleanse somebody of their sins when they ignore righteousness and willfully engage in sin to follow Satan. Therefore, Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." Sounds like we've got a dilemma. What good is grace if grace no longer covers our sins? And I submit to you that if that's your view of grace, then you don't fully understand what grace is. So let's begin. We must understand that every one of us, as the children of God, are engaged in a spiritual battle with Satan. I don't care if you're 17 or 71 like myself. I don't care if you're not in an official position within the church or whether you're an elder like me. Everyone is in a spiritual battle with Satan. Every moment that we dwell in this flesh until the day God calls our spirits home, we are in this battle. We are in the fight of our lives, and God knows it. God knows that we are going to suffer temptations. After all, this is the testing of our faith. And he knows that we're going to be wounded by sin. Therefore, God spreads his grace upon each one of us to cleanse us of our sins. In fact, Ephesians chapter, first chapter says he lavishes his grace upon us. And by that grace, we are saved. By that grace, he cleanses us of our sins. But this is important. Why does God cleanse us of our sins? It's not to enable us to sin more. Instead, this is God protecting his children from the consequences of sin, which is death. Therefore, as we are engaged in this battle, when we fall in this struggle against Satan, which we have, and I hate to tell you this, unless someone in here figures they are as good as God and as perfect as God, sin is going to enter into our lives again. And with sin, let me put it this way. If you want to hurt your spiritual faith, enter into sin. That's the worst thing you can do for yourself. And when that happens, what the scriptures are clear is we are not to give up in discouragement. We are not to surrender. Instead, we are to pick ourselves up and we are to continue to fight the good faith. The question is, how, when we are crushed by the weight of our sins, where do we get this strength? How do we not be discouraged? Number one, we have to know that when a Christian sins, you are going to be crushed. You are going to suffer pain. You are going to suffer shame. You're going to suffer guilt. You're going to suffer sorrow. Why in the world is that? Because it's clear. When we receive God's word, we receive the mind of Christ and the thoughts of God. We see the beauty of righteousness as God sees righteousness, and we see the ugliness, the shame, the sorrow, the pain of sin as God sees pain. And when we are guilty of those sins, it's going to hurt. But here's the deal. We don't need to take that pain as a reason to retreat. We use that pain to change our lives as our motivation to repent. So where do we get the strength to persevere and endure, to bring ourselves to get rid of the sin by which we've been wounded by? We have to have confidence in our salvation, and we have to have confidence in God's saving grace. Why is that? Because it's God's grace that gives us our fresh start. It is by God's grace that we have confidence in, that we know that when we repent of our sins, He is faithful to cleanse us completely, fully, totally. And we can start over and not look back at the sins that are in our life. Acts 3:19, one of my favorite verses I've used so many times before, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. So let's conclude with this verse. Pay attention to it, because it's one that I've overlooked as to its meaning anyway, and perhaps it, you've overlooked it as well. But this is the Apostle Paul talking about himself. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more. What's he saying here? He's saying that I was the foremost of sinners. I persecuted the church of Christ to the death. But by the grace of God, I found forgiveness and I found eternal life. And God saved Paul. And Paul did not waste God's grace on engaging in vain pursuit of additional sin. He used it to labor even more. And that's the message that I have for you tonight. When we repent of our sins, by the grace of God, God cleanses us. God gives us that new start, that fresh start. And He gives us as many fresh starts as we need as we repent of our transgressions. When should we repent? The answer, of course, is now. I don't care where you're at or what time of day it is, it's always now. It's now, now. In the morning, it's going to be now. We can't live a single second of the past, and we can't live a single second of the future. We only live now. Now is the day of salvation. And where are we now? Well, we're in a worship service. The saints are assembled to praise God, to pray to God, to remember God, and to worship God. I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again. There is no better time to repent of transgressions than now. What point does it make to sacrifice your time, your effort, your strength, the end of a long day to come to a worship service and know you have sin that you need to repent of and not do it? That doesn't make sense to me. But as we are about to sing this song, if you'll silently pray to God and tell God, forgive me for the sins of today and the sins of my past, you will leave this sanctuary, you will leave this house of worship and go down to your house completely justified, perfectly pure. You will have your fresh start to start your day off tomorrow. That's what I do. Every Sunday, that's what I do. Every Wednesday, that's what I do. Every morning, that's what I do. Every evening before I go to sleep, that's what I do. Join with me now as we stand and sing this song and just pray to God to forgive you of your sins. If there's something public you need to declare, you can come forward and we'll assist you. If you have not been baptized into Christ, if you have not been cleansed by His blood, if you're not covered by God's grace. Now is the time, now is the time to do that. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?